Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm continuing to talk about the family pie exercise. I'm doing a little recap on explaining how you do the family pie exercise and how you can use the exercise to discover which of the qualities that exist within your family of origin were assigned to you, and perhaps which of those qualities which were assigned to other people are the ones that you want, and why you may not be able to get them for yourself. Also, I'm playing an interview I did with Yaima Franco, wife of Octavio Martin, whose interview you might have heard last week. Listen to Yaima talk about discovering her passion for ballet as a young girl in Cuba, and how she and Octavio escaped the repression and really, to some extent, the starvation of their lives and found their way to Sarasota, Florida, and paradise. So, hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down you dive, where the child's gone to survive. Finding wisdom's other words. Oh, you really can. And it's always there, like a silent hug from no.
Lynn Show. The Lynn Show is all about discovering who you really are. For most of us, I think pretty much all of us, what that means is discovering or uncovering or recovering those parts of ourselves which we have, for very good reasons, although we usually don't remember those reasons, hidden away. Not only from other people, but from ourselves. As I quite often say when I'm describing this, this is not about those things about yourself which you know, but you're not letting on. And we all have that. And I like to use the example of, you know, laughing at a joke that you don't really understand, you know, pretending. We all do a little of that. It's hard to live in this society which is so judgmental without having some idea of what makes you good or bad or desirable or undesirable or popular or not, and then trying to fit into that. I had a client who had been pretty much overweight all her life, and she said that she had a series of clothing that she called fakey facades. These were clothing that were designed to make her look thinner than she actually was. So, of course, she was pretending to be thinner than she actually was. Well, you know, we all do some of that. And while it is my belief that the less of that that we could do, the better, the more we don't feel compelled to pretend, you know, things that are true of us. I do believe that, and I think of that as an ongoing struggle for us. What I also know or believe is that there are aspects of ourselves that we're hiding, but not only from other people, but from ourselves as well. When we're children, we have what I think of as the only goal, and that is to please, or at least not to upset or surprise or frighten or worry or annoy or disappoint, what I call those giants on which our life depends, of course, our parents. And we have radar for what it is they want or they expect, and we set about to try and be that person. And sometimes that doesn't make really good sense. I mean, why would I try to be dumber than I am, or accident-prone, or sick, or violent, or, you know, I mean, all of these things which we come to think of later as getting in the way of our success as a human being. But unfortunately, there are parents, human beings, people, who are threatened by the emerging smartness, talent, swiftness of their children. And so without really being aware of it, they can quite subtly discourage the expression of these qualities. And so people learn to deny things like how smart they are, how talented they are, how clever they are, how healthy they are, believe it or not. So this show is all about first considering the possibility that there are things about you which you have hidden, and that these things may actually be qualities, skills, abilities, capacities, talents, ideas that you could use today. With some of the examples I just gave, you can see how it would be better to be healthy than not, to not be accident prone, to be as smart as you really are, to demonstrate as smart as you really are. But we not only learn this lesson quite early in life, our brain learns to drop chemicals into our bloodstream which keep us from experiencing those things. I talk a lot about brain chemistry and how to alter brain chemistry in these shows. And I'm not going to do too much of that today, because one of the things that I have been talking about in the recent shows is the exercise, the family pie. And if you've been listening, or if you have the book, oh gosh, my book, When You Can, You Will, Why You Can't Always Do What You Want to Do and What to Do About It. The exercise, the family pie, is in that book. Or if you've listened to an old podcast and come across the family pie exercise, maybe you've done it. Or maybe you haven't. Maybe this is the first time you've heard the show, so you've never heard me talk about the family pie. So I'll give a quick recap. To do the family pie exercise, you simply draw a big circle on a piece of paper, and you cut that circle into as many pie pieces as there were members of your family. Mother, father, how many sisters, how many brothers, did grandma live with you, did Aunt Betty live with you? You know, you put all those in. And then you write in all the characteristics of all of the people in your family of origin. You can do it for the family that you're currently living with, spouse, children, etc. But the first time you do it, you should probably do it for your family of origin. Take your time with it. some people will be really easy, you know, dad, very loud, very successful, very hardworking, very critical, very demanding, or dad, a pushover, mom rules the roost, dad does whatever she says, very sweet, very accommodating, you know, it doesn't matter, the list, there isn't any right or wrong, there is only what you experienced in your family of origin. So you write as extensive a list for each one as you can. You pay attention to the ones that seem more or less difficult, more or less easy. Maybe you have trouble with yourself. Or maybe you're really easy to do and everybody else is a blank. You can ask for help if you have a sibling that you feel close to. You can run that, or a cousin, or even a good friend who knows your family really well. Sometimes an objective point of view can help. Anyway, when you're finished with that, when you have as many of the qualities as you can think of, describing as many of the people as you can, then step back from it and look at it. It is my belief that all of the qualities in that family pie exist in all of the members of the family. Almost certainly, everyone will not be demonstrating every single one of these qualities. Almost certainly, there'll be a balance. Someone will be loud, someone will be quiet, someone will be independent, don't help me, I don't need any help, and somebody will be, I can't do anything and I'm a screw up. Someone will be the one who tells jokes and diffuses family tension. Someone will be the one who saves every nickel, someone will be, can't hold on to a penny. Or everybody in the system will be very responsible and dependable, and one person will be a total screw-up. Look for it. Look for the balance. Look for the qualities. This is what you mostly have to work with. Everything in that family pie. Even though the chances are very, very good that you are not demonstrating all of the qualities in that system. So, at this point, I like to say that you can look for the qualities which were perhaps assigned to other people, but which you would like. Let's say you have a sibling who saves every penny and, you know, is doing really well, is not in any financial trouble, and you, the money just runs right through your fingers and you don't know how this other person does it and you really want to know how to do that. Well, I believe you already know how to do that, that that quality already belongs to you. You do not have to learn it, struggle for it. It's yours. It comes with the territory of being in that system. Well, then, if that's true, why can't you do it? Well, I believe it's because really early on, your other sibling got assigned that quality, and you got assigned the one you got assigned. And so you put under cover your capacity to be fiscally clever, to be penurious, to be... I can't think of another word for it. And the other sibling put under cover the capacity for frivolity, the capacity to spend spontaneously for fun. So you need a little bit of what your sibling has, but your sibling also needs a little bit of what you have. However, since these were assigned to you, both of you are identified with the quality you have. And neither one of you is really willing to give it up. Even when you say, I really would like to be different, there's a neuron firing, a chemical dropping in your bloodstream that tells you not to do it. And in addition to what's going on in your own chemistry, the system itself is acting against you surfacing this quality, because when you surface your portion of that quality, somebody else in the system is going to have to give up theirs. And of course you know that the one who's very frugal, the one who has no financial problems, who is very, very proud of their savings account or their IRA or their whatever, their investments or whatever, is not going to be willing to be seen as frivolous or spontaneous. They're going to think of that as a bad thing, and they're not going to want to give it up. And that's how you're going to get it. Not necessarily from this one, maybe from someone else in the system. Maybe there's somebody else who is just a little bit better than you are about money, and when you get really better, that person's going to get worse. I'm not sure, but someone in the system is going to have to give it up. And of course, nobody wants to. This, I believe, is one of the major reasons that we don't change. Because we're identified with the quality, however much we don't want it. Because our neurons are firing and dropping chemicals in our bloodstream, which help us to stay put. And because the system itself is lobbying against it. Okay. I'm going to talk more in the future about what you can do about that. But in the meanwhile, just look at it. Look at the pie. Look at all the qualities. See what you have and what other people have. And what is it that you're not willing to give up? Are you the smart one in the family? And do you chuckle when someone else can't spell or doesn't remember the name of all the capitals of the or whatever it is, right? Do you take pleasure in that and are unwilling to... Well, I don't know, not have to work so hard at being so smart. Just think about it. Now, if you've been listening to me, you know that I play, as a second part of my show, an interview with a person who makes their living or their life with an art. And I do that because... when you listen to someone who makes their living or their life with an art, you are listening to someone who is exactly who they are. And I say this over and over again in every show. We live in a culture that does not support the arts. We talk about it as play. They are playing. But many people cannot resist their art. It is who they are. And so, they give their life to it in one way or another. For the last 2 weeks, I've been playing members of the Sarasota Ballet Company. And today, I am playing the wife of Octavio Martin, who I interviewed last week. This is Yaima Franco, who with her husband escaped from the National Ballet Company of Cuba while they were on tour in Mexico. If you heard the show last week, you heard Octavio's version of the escape, which is truly hair-raising. And you're going to hear a little bit more about that from Yaima. And also, in a slightly different way, Yaima discovered her passion for dance a little bit later than most people do. And so her story is very interesting. But even though it took her a little bit longer, her passion for it is complete. And you will hear it, and you will hear that it is exactly who she really is. So I'm just going to let Yaima tell her story in her own words. And here she is, Yaima Franco.
So I'm here with Yaima Franco, who is wife to who is coming in with water now for her, which is very, very nice. Right? And I interview people who make their living or their life with an art.
Okay.
And it's pretty clear that that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And your art is dance.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I ask people the same question. How did it happen to you? How did you find it?
I think like most of the parents, you know, would try to look the best for our children and all that. So my mom saw something in me and take me to do the audition for the National Ballet of School in Cuba. So,
well, wait a minute. So you didn't dance around as a little kid, or you did, or you, I mean, do you know what she saw?
It was my uncle who likes my legs, And he said, yes, he's an orthopedist or something.
Orthopedist.
And he told, you should take her to the ballet and
he
see.
He said she's got ballet legs?
She had good legs, and his wife, my
aunt.
Aunt, mm-hmm. She's a dancer.
Ah.
Professional, too.
Yes.
And so he asked her, she had good legs, why do you don't bring her and see what...
If she can dance.
If she can dance. And yes, I get into the 30 girls from 400, 500 girls, so...
Oh, my gosh. So how old were you?
I was like 9.
So you didn't, before that, you didn't think I'd like to be a dancer?
No.
It didn't come up?
No.
Did you think anything about what you might like to be? I mean, 9 is pretty young, but...
I just remember, even in the beginning of my career, I liked a lot math.
Mm-hmm.
I just sit around doing math things, and I love school, you know, and the history and all that, so I want to be involved with something...
Intellectual.
Yes.
Yes.
But I don't know how did it happen. Actually, in the beginning, I wasn't too interested because it's boring in the beginning for little kids, especially in this kind of country when you don't have to pay for it. So it's like you're forced to do it and how they want you to do it. And it's pretty slow and it's not fun at all.
Yes.
So in the beginning, I wasn't too interested.
No, you were just doing it because they brought you there.
Yes. But after, I think I was 13, when I really start to see, I can do this, and I think it can be good, and yes, and then I start to concentrate on what I want, dancing.
So now this is interesting. You're not saying I fell in love with it. You're saying I thought I could do it well.
Yes. I think I can do it. I think, yes.
Yes. So it's not like...
Some people die if they don't dance.
Exactly.
It's not.
Not.
Now it can be. Now I can die for it.
Yes.
But not in the beginning.
So it, wow, it's really interesting.
Yes.
It took, because that's a pretty long time, even from 9 to 13.
Yes.
And then, even then, you weren't dying to do it. You were just thinking, well, maybe I could do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like then you got the challenge.
Yes.
So there you are at 13, and you think, gee, maybe I could really be good at this. And you start... paying more attention. Now, are you still going to school at the same time? You're
yes.
still having math and history
yes,
and all
yes,
that
yes,
stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And are you enjoying that still?
Yes.
Or, yeah,
yes.
Right.
Still, I was a little bit tired because in the mornings, the whole morning dancing, because I think maybe the thing in Cuba is when the kids are ready to dance, it's all the morning and then in the afternoon after lunch.
Yeah, you're really tired. So,
but I still enjoy it, yeah, school a lot.
Yeah. All right, so... you're 13, and so how long does the training go?
8 years.
Eight more, or eight from nine?
From 9 to 18.
18. So you get, so at 13 you have 5 more years.
Yes. So I have an injury.
Oh, yeah.
My first injury in, I was 15, so I lost almost half of the year. And then when I recover, I have to do that year again. So my career, instead of 8, was 9 years.
Wow. Were you
yes.
very disappointed?
Not at all.
No.
I think a dancer after an injury, you have even more force. You want to dance. And so after all that recovery, you have
to be careful.
You have to be careful. But you see people dance and it's like, I want to be there, I want to be there, I want to be. It's, when you're there, you want to use all your time. And
yeah.
you have even more strength and forces.
Okay, so by the time you were 16, 17... you are already beginning to really love it.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, all right. So then, okay, so you're 18, 19 now when you finish your training. So
uh-huh.
what happened?
Then comes a funny moment, too, when we have 2 auditions in the National Ballet of Cuba, 15 girls, and only they have space for 2.
Wow.
And they told me, you have to, you're great, but you have to lose 10 pounds in a month.
Oh my God, I'm looking at you. You don't weigh anything. What did you weigh then?
They look for really skinny girls, and yeah.
You had to lose 10 pounds in a month?
In a month. So it was really challenging because I have to lose 10 pounds in a month.
Right. Well, I mean, you didn't weigh that much to begin with, so...
So it was tea and fruit,
oy.
Until the day of the audition, and... hopefully, I made it all the way to the company when I start working really hard then.
You know, it's interesting, though. I mean, tea and fruit, tea and fruit. You don't have very much energy on tea and fruit.
Yeah. So you lost the weight.
Yeah, you... Well, okay, so they didn't ask you to dance again. They already liked your dancing. They just wanted you to lose the weight.
But anyway, we have to do another
audition. So you were okay?
Yes, everything was fine. Thanks God. I made it to the company. Yeah.
Okay, so then what happened?
Well, this start...
So now you're what, 19, 20? When this happened?
19. Then it comes in the... When you get to the company, I tell to the trainees and the pre-trainees, it comes a moment when you have to learn the rep of the company outside, not being part of the dancing in that moment.
I don't understand.
You have to learn the rep, but not dancing, just
you
watching.
Learn the rep?
Of the company.
What does that mean?
Of the repertoire of the company.
Oh, the repertoire. I'm sorry.
The repertoire of the
company.
You have to learn it, but... There's like 100 people in that company, so you don't have
you don't get to dance, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't get to dance, but you get it. You have to observe.
Observe, and if you're smart enough,
you learn
in the bag. Yes.
Right.
So
that's what. So suddenly, now you're in the company, but you're not really dancing.
No. And you spend like 2 years like that, sitting around, not working too much.
Right. Trying to watch it and learn it.
Watch it and learn it. Just the day they tell you, okay, feeling, you're lost. So it's, but well, I have the chance to get into the, my first thing was Swan Lake, which, oh my God.
Yeah, right.
So hopefully I did it great, and then I started getting, they have 100 dancers, but just 50 dancers go on tour.
Oh.
And yes, in Cuba that is very important because it's the only way to go outside the country and bring money back to eat and all that. So you need to be in that group.
Right.
So I worked really hard to be part of that group, and thanks God I made it. And thanks to that, we know almost all the world, which is for free, just dancing, doing what you love.
Right.
And yeah, that's the story.
Okay, so you're in the company and you're touring.
Yes.
And I guess you discovered Octavio.
Yes, in one of the tours, yes.
In one of the tours, yes. right. And how old were you when you guys arrived in Mexico and decided to...
I was 25 years old.
25, so you were only in the company for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, right, when...
No, it was actually from 99 till 2005, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so, and then you were already married, right?
No, we married because after we met and we come back to Cuba and all that, well, our life was really hard in there. And
I didn't ask him this, but were you living at home still or were you living on your own?
Were you
living with your family?
No. We have a friend who owns one apartment. He wasn't using it at the moment. So we
in Cuba.
Asked him. Yes.
Yes, right.
And we were living in there, very close to the work and all that.
Right, I see.
For
but
like
really struggling.
Yes. In there, everything is very hard. And then we have this chance to have a contract with the Royal Winnipeg Ballet.
Yes.
Which, oh my God, that was good, but it was possible, so we had to leave Cuba, and then the way we left Cuba...
Okay, wait, I want to ask you something before you tell me that story, because this is also something I didn't ask him. Did people in the company talk about how difficult it was to live in Cuba? Did people talk about trying to get out? Nobody ever talked about that.
No. People know how hard it is, but...
Nobody talks.
No.
And nobody says anything about the possibility of leaving or getting out or anything.
No.
Okay. All right, good. Okay, so now, how you get out of Cuba, you tell me.
Yes. Now, when we decide, we're touring inside Cuba, and when we decide to defect, okay, we have 3 days in Mexico, 2 dancing, 1 off. And we need to cross the border, And I said, we have to get married. Because by that time, when the people get to the border, they used to bring you almost to prison for a month.
Yeah.
While they do your papers and all that. So we thought that being married...
They would keep you together.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully we spent 4 hours in the border and that's it.
Right.
But it was really hard because we went in the south of Mexico.
Oh, wait, wait. Did you get married in Cuba?
Yes.
Yes. So you got married in Cuba before you went on
yes.
the...
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good.
So then I remember there was an awful storm in 2005 that left Florida for 10 days without electricity, I think.
I believe you.
2005. Mm-hmm. And the airport of Cancun was destroyed.
Aye.
So we don't have an option. We have to take a bus.
Oh, you thought you might be able to fly.
Yes.
But
we don't have a lot of money, but we thought in Mexico, you never know. You have to guess. And then we have to get to the border before they realize we
that
weren't gone. In there.
Right.
So we have to leave. I think it was crazy. Yes. Because when the company signed a contract, there's one of the points that say that if a company member defect, the what is the name of the guy who brings you to the country?
Oh, not like security, but like yeah.
They have to look for you. They're paying you $10,000. That's their job.
Their job is to keep you there.
Yes.
So if you're not there, they have to go looking for you.
Yes.
Ay, ay, ay.
Quick.
Yes, but quicker the better because, right, okay.
Yes. So thanks God that the moment they go to the bus to get to the airport, we're already in the border. We spent 25 hours in a bus to get to the border.
And how do you know they went to look for you?
Because
but they had to, right, because they were...
No, and a lot of time, sometimes before we heard about...
Other people.
They're looking for, yeah.
Oh, my God, how terrifying.
No, it's awful. It's awful, and you walk and you look everywhere, and you're so scared. And
right. So you get in this bus, and it's 25 hours.
Yes.
And then you get to the border at Mexico.
Yes. Then that is another funny story, because the taxi drivers in Mexico, they know about all this.
Yes, right.
And Cubans and all that. And then.
Oh, they know about Cubans.
And they know that if they caught you in still in Mexico, they can return you to Cuba.
Yes, right.
So they made like a story in there, and then funny, 2 blocks from the border, and we see this cab, and yeah, he can come in.
Oh, you're walking.
Yeah, we're walking, and then he said, okay, okay, we need to go to the border. And I remember we brought all the original Cuban passport, ID, and each passport is like $500. They pay for that, a Cuban passport.
Who does?
Mexicans, yes.
You're kidding.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So he said, like, okay, you can bring any of those papers to the border because you will be in trouble, ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba. We were 2 blocks from the border.
Right.
And I remember he drives out like for 30 minutes and after 2 blocks. And
was he trying to get you to sell him, to give him the passport?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And after all that, he parked in front of the cops.
Yes, police station.
No, just the car.
Police car.
Just a police car. And, okay, you owe me $100. And we're like, what, for 2 blocks? Yeah, and look, the police car in there, so... If you don't want to get into trouble, so we have to pay him.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And then, well, crossing the bridge, that's another story. Well, it's so scary. It's so scary because...
How long is the bridge?
Oh, my God, I don't remember.
You were too scared.
It's like in those dreams when you try to run.
Yes, and you can't move.
That is the same thing. So long, it becomes longer and longer and longer.
It's so
scary. Yeah.
Okay, so you give him $100. I'm surprised you even had it. Okay, but now you still have your passports and everything, right?
Yes.
And you're trudging across the bridge,
yes.
Right? Okay, good. So then what?
Then what? It was Halloween. I just remember the people coming from U.S. to Mexico in costume and all that.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. And then nothing, after you get to that point, everything is really easy, even if you're too scared. Okay, I'm Cuban and I want to cross the border.
Right.
And that's it.
There, they say fine.
Fine, sitting there, and we spend like 4 or 5 hours in there.
Wow.
They were filling all the papers and all that. Yeah, we have a little problem because Octavio, when he was dancing with the Royal Winnipeg Ballet, like 3 times, I remember. If they want to make the renewal of your work permission, they have to take it to the border, Canadian-U.S. mm-hmm. border, and say, no, I don't want to go to the United States, and they bring you back with your...
Oh.
Yeah.
So it says on there, I don't want to go to the United States, and they have to explain it.
So what do you want now?
Right.
So we have to explain a little bit more the reasons and all that, but...
Oh, my God. Okay, so then there you are in Texas, right?
Scary.
I'll bet it.
Brownsville, I think.
Yeah.
Francis.
Yeah.
scary.
Right.
And I just remember we're starving.
I'll bet.
Starving. Just go to one hotel and can we ask for a pizza in here? So we had a pizza. We have the ticket because in Brownsville they tell us, okay, if you want to take a flight from here to Miami, it's like 800. Per person, we have, I think, barely 200. So
right.
What we won in the tour.
Right.
So, okay, we need to take a bus, which is the scariest thing in the world. In the Greyhound, I remember. I was so scared. Oh, my God. But we have to live in the Greyhound for a while since we get here.
What do you mean?
I mean, our transport
right.
was the Greyhound all the time.
The Greyhound.
Yeah.
Wherever you went, you were in the Greyhound. God bless them, right?
Yeah. So we have... I even remember that I was already pregnant. And we have to sleep in... Coming to Sarasota in Naples because they close the bus station at 12 until the next morning. And we have to sleep. It was January.
Oh, my
freezing.
God.
I was pregnant already. We have to sleep outside. It was so scary. It was, yeah.
Wow.
No, it's some story.
It is some story.
Book. Yeah.
It is a book. Are you going to write it?
Who knows?
Have you thought?
When my English gets better, maybe. Yes.
You just need an editor.
Yeah.
You don't
need maybe. Why not?
Why not? And that's another question I had. Were you guys speaking English this well when you... I was going to say, what were you doing?
No.
So what? It was...
I think thanks to the teaching.
The teaching?
Being teaching little kids, you have to be really careful how you talk to them mm-hmm. and all that. So we start speaking English, like, kind of like this.
But I mean, when you wound up in the... You know, I mean, at the border in Brownsville, how did you...
They speak Spanish.
Oh, they
Texas.
Speak Spanish in Texas, of course. Yeah. That's right. Oh, so that worked. Oh, that, I see. Of course.
So that was one of the things, too, that we started looking job outside Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Because our lawyer in there, not our lawyer, but they take us to him. And Octavio's brothers take us to him. And they say, okay, leave Miami right now.
Why?
Because you won't dance and you won't speak English.
If you stay in Miami?
Yes.
Because you won't have to.
You
is that right?
You don't need it.
Right.
And ballet is not a huge thing there.
And ballet. Yeah, right.
Art.
Right. Right.
Miami's another thing.
I know. Yes. Yeah, right. That's not its thing.
Yeah.
Right.
So you...
So you would melt into the Cuban community and you would do something else and you wouldn't learn English and... Right.
And somehow we're Cubans, but... all the day being inside a studio and touring so much, knowing a lot.
And having been all over the world.
So...
Yeah, you're not...
We don't feel not comfortable. I don't want to say that, but...
No, you're
different.
A person of the world. You're not... You don't have an identity as just a Cuban. You're a person in the world.
Yes.
Right.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same, I think, for anybody who comes to a place where there's all those people from where they are from, it becomes a kind of a little ghetto. And yeah. you just do, I mean, and this is the same, you know, for the Jews in New York and for the Italians in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, you come in that safe little place and you're just, right.
And the Cuban have suffered a lot, don't have anything, don't have food, don't have nothing
to wear. In Miami?
No, in Cuba.
In Cuba.
So when they get out, they get like crazy.
Right. I want this and I want that.
Everything is about what car do you have, what food do you, and the Cuban food is awesome. So it's eating. Miami is crazy. And what clothes do you wear, and I'm thinking about ballet.
Right.
I'm thinking about that. I can eat what you eat. I can wear what you wear. It's a different world for us.
It's a much different perspective on what's important.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, definitely.
So that was a very smart lawyer. Was he a Cuban?
He was a Cuban. But he defends, I don't know if you have heard about him, Wilfredo Allen.
No.
They call him Willie Allen. Yes, they, all those immigration cases that you see on TV, he defends all those kind of people.
Yeah, right.
So see, dancers are kind of that people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not so regular people.
No, right. Yeah. So he knew. Good. Lucky for you.
Yes.
Lucky for you. So Octavio said that he then began to look for work all over the place, and that's because of this, because this guy said,
Get out. We went 3 times in Miami City Ballet, but Octavio's brother lived kind of far from it, so we didn't have a car. So the only person who can drive us to Miami Beach was at 5 a.m. and the class is at 9:30 or 10.
Yes.
So we have to walk in Miami Beach till night.
Oh,
You can't even have a cup of coffee because it's almost $3, $3.50 or something.
Oh my God.
I'm not a huge fan. I wasn't a huge fan of the classes in there. So at the third class, I told Octavio, I won't wait.
I'm not getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to get here. Right.
No.
Right.
I won't do it anymore.
Right.
So he
and so are you still pregnant now when this is all going on? You had the baby?
No. No. I wasn't pregnant yet.
No. You weren't pregnant yet. I got it. Okay.
Not yet. So he did a couple of guesting, and all the money he get, we use it to travel around United States, you know, calling friends. Can we sleep in your couch for a couple of days? So we went to Cincinnati Ballet, Colorado Ballet, Orlando Ballet, and the Greyhound. And irony of the life, we find the job in here.
Yeah.
And then when we came here, we received a Robert DeWarren's invitation to come here. And Octavio go to the meeting. We took class. He went to the meeting. And, you can start at 12. After lunch, you can start. I have a job for you. Not for your wife, but for you. Something is something.
Right.
And I think like 15 days, 20 days from there, I found out I was pregnant. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. I just remember I started crying.
Why?
Because we don't have work to live.
You take this huge risk, you know. I mean, you do this amazing
and
thing.
And this happened. Oh,
and then, you know, exactly. It's like life is saying, oh, you thought that was something. Well, here, have take care of this now.
Yes. But at the end, when I look back, I think it was the best thing happened to us. Because when my daughter born, it was like, okay, wake up. Yes, wake up. You're here. You don't have where to live. You don't have what we have what to eat because of the Cubans. We have food stamps and help.
Right.
I just remember a couple of people that when I was pregnant, I was crying. They tell me, you should have it. You have Medicaid now. So use it now. Be smart.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
As we find out this little apartment and very close from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, okay,
yeah,
let's live with it. Thanks God the government give us
help. Right.
So let's try to live with this. Right. Let's try to do it. And I think that's one of the reasons why we live how we live. We work how we work, really hard, because we have a family and we're doing something good, I think.
And you value what you have here.
Yes.
You know?
I'm so lucky. So lucky because we were talking with the students 2 hours ago that we know a lot of Cubans. Cubans are something. We're different. We're too strong. We don't know how to say, yes, sir. You know what you want. Okay. Cubans are, I know what I'm saying. And,
right.
And there's a lot of us that very good dancers. They're cutting meat in Winn-Dixie in Miami. Or yes.
So I
think we both of are blessed to be in Sarasota doing what we learned to do while we were young,
right.
And what I know I love now.
Yes.
This is what I want, so.
Well, yes, you're very lucky. There's no question about it, but you took the risk. The guys who are cutting meat in Winn-Dixie didn't.
No.
You know, they didn't get on a Greyhound bus and, you know. So this is not a gift you didn't pay for, you know?
Yes. Yes.
You know, and we're extremely lucky to have you. No, I mean it. And it's not just because you're wonderful dancers, but it's because, well, so I think it's so many reasons. I mean, both of you are role models, you know, for courage. For reaching out for what you need in life. You know, lots of people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody that we have who has done that gives permission and inspiration to anybody else who's thinking about it,
yeah.
Right?
And I think that's one of I think all that happened in our lives is, you can see it when I'm teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving the students and even the professional that trust that you can do it.
Yeah.
You should push yourself. Why not? Just if you don't cross the border, you will never know
right.
How it's in the other side. So go for it.
Go for it.
So I think that helped me so much. And now that I'm a teacher in the company, in students, all that trust, even if sometimes I know they can't.
Yes.
Because it's hard. And I know they can't, but if they don't trust in me and themselves, they don't try today, and it's coming worse and worse and worse. So.
Yes. And the it's what you said, you know. If you don't try, then you don't get it. That's right. You know you know you're not getting it if you don't try.
Yes.
And trying and failing is not worse than not trying. Not trying is worse than trying and failing. Do
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because you know you can do it. So then, okay, you can't do it here, but maybe you could do it over here in another
but
place.
But still, you live happy with yourself.
Yes.
That you failed, but you tried.
That's right. That's right. And when you know you can do that, I mean, I don't know whether this is right, but this is how it feels to me. If you take the risk and you fail, first of all, you know you are a person who can risk. You can risk here, you can risk there.
Yeah.
And secondly, failure is not as bad when it happens to you as it is when you imagine it.
Yes.
Do you know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
So you do it so, oh, well, it yeah. wasn't as bad as I thought, so maybe I can take another risk somewhere else. It's the anticipation.
Yeah.
You know.
And I believe a little bit in destiny and fate, and but you need to work for it.
Yes.
I mean, it's not coming to you. You need to do something to make your own luck.
Yes.
But if it doesn't happen, I say, it was not ready for me, so, okay.
That wasn't my destiny, but maybe it's over here.
Yeah. But you have to go for it. You have to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you guys clearly do. I didn't ask him, but are you thinking of teaching your daughter to dance? Does she have the legs?
Yes.
Oh, she does.
She have the legs. And most of the dancer teachers, they weren't too good when they were dancing as their sons can be.
Ah, yes, the next generation.
Yes, because they don't have to find out. You're a teacher already. So
yes.
They don't have to find out for themselves how to turn, what to push,
right.
what to
Right.
They don't have to figure it out, and if I do this, maybe it will work, maybe not, because the teacher doesn't pay attention to me, so maybe
yeah,
you
no,
tell
no.
them. So
right.
Yeah. But I still don't know. I still don't know.
Well, you know, this
obviously back there.
It's in there.
You want.
It's in. Oh, you
yes.
do want.
Yes, yes,
you do
yes.
want.
At some point, when you see her dance, it's like, oh.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's a lot of sacrifice, and not only sacrifice, options you have to take in your life.
It's a hard life.
It's very hard.
It's a very hard life, and as we were saying, you know, earlier, you know, it's not a long life for a dancer.
That's why I'm vlogging.
Yes.
That I'm teaching.
Yes. Yeah, because you can teach forever,
yeah.
right? Right. They don't take that away from you.
Mm-mm.
But that's where it has to go. Otherwise, the career is pretty much over, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well. Okay, so I quite often ask, well, first of all, is there anything I didn't ask you that I should have asked you, something that you would want to say?
No, it's pretty much...
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you live a life as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Will you just think for a second if there's anything that you would want to say about what that is like? Because it is very different than living...
another kind of life.
Another kind of life, yeah.
It's hard. It's mm-hmm. hard. Being an artist... Because you don't stop thinking as an artist. You have to eat as an artist. You go home and you have to keep working in your brain what you're going to do next morning with your students. So you don't rest. Never, ever.
Wow.
But it's so grateful. You know, in Saturday show when you see them, it's like, okay, I'm having a...
It's worth it.
It's worth it. For me.
Yes.
For
well,
me.
You can only speak for you, and I don't expect you to speak for anybody else, right?
Yes. For me, as a teacher, it's so grateful. And as a dancer, when you finish and you feel all that clapping, and you say, oh, my God.
So, yeah. So it's very hard, and it's very worth it.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a perfect place to stop. Thank you very much.
So who could say it better than that? It's very hard. And it's very worth it. And it's very grateful. When, again, you know, I say over and over again that I play these interviews so you can hear what it sounds like when a person is themselves. There's no guile. There's no agenda. There's no trying to be something. It's just, this is it. This is who I am. And you hear it in Yaima, and she and her husband, Octavio, had to run away from their homes, from their families. But they did not run away from their art. They took that with them in every fiber of their being, and they found a way to make their life with their art, which is dance. And there's no way I can use words to say, to make the point that listening to somebody like Yaima makes for me. So I hope that I hope, as I always do, that as you're listening to this, you're asking yourself, what is it inside of me that is intrinsic, that's essential, that I may not even know about? That I may have to have hidden from myself, that I may have had to pretend somehow was not there. And I am planning to continue to talk, as I did in the first part of this show, about the family pie, about how to help you discover what might be there, you know, in the family pie. You might find it in another pie piece in your family. And ask yourself if you're interested in recovering that, if you're interested in getting back yourself. And if you are, then stay tuned, because I'm going to keep talking about that, and I will talk about how you do it and why it may not always be as easy as recognizing the thing and saying, I want it back and getting it back. So, yes, in the future, I'm going to keep talking about that and continue to play artists like Yaima and Octavio. And as we are winding down, let me thank, as I always do, Josh Hackney, who comes here and makes sure that the show sounds as good as it sounds. So whatever sounds good in this show, we can attribute to Josh. And whatever doesn't, you can attribute to me. Because not only does he fix the sound, but he helps me to do all the things that I either have learned late in life so I can't hold on to, I can't remember, or I never learned. You know, doing this show is a learning curve, learning to edit, learning to upload, download, reload, unload. And I need help with it. So if you need help with any of that, recording, computer, internet, electronics, you want Josh Hackney as well. And you can get him, as you can get me, and information about any of the people who I interview on the show, and also any information about the kinds of things I do. If you are interested in the book or you want to listen to an old podcast of mine, you can get that information by going up on my website, thelinshow.com. Remember that you have to spell Lynn with an E, so it's THELYNNESHOW, because if you leave out the E, you get a different Lynn. And as always, I hope that you got something you can use from this show, something that stimulated you, intrigued you, something that you learned that you didn't know, something that you knew but you had forgotten, something that piqued your interest, something that makes you want to come back, because I will be here next week, same time, same station. And I sure hope you will be too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, still got some tang, so you won't hear me simper. I may have got the